thank you to our sponsor for this week. We have Hand Up Gloves, Brian.
How awesome. You make badass gloves. You endorse badass riders. And did you know you also endorse some super grateful badass podcast hosts?
They've been so cool to us. So happy that we connected with them and that we can have an ad on our show.
My favorite feature of them is the giant nose wipe, because my nose when I'm running, when I'm riding. And it's great, and it's meant for that. It's also good for getting the foamies out of my mustache when I crack a fresh brewski.
Dude, I didn't even realize that. Multi-purpose.
Oh, yeah.
I just got my first pair. I know you've had a couple. But yeah, I love them already. Brian, I was actually looking on their website and I was like trying to scope out, because you know, like I can't just be done after these gloves. I'm going to probably buy at least one more thing. Scoping out their shorts and like they have some cool jerseys too. Do you see like the Hawaiian jerseys they have that are like button down Hawaiian shirts, but they're also like jerseys for riding your bike?
Nothing screams I'm fast and in shape, but also like to party.
What I'm all about. It's because like, I want something that looks like I'm a mountain biker. Like, I'm so sick of wearing like Lycra every time. But I also want to be like, hey guys, I'm actually just here to have fun. And that's exactly what that's all about. So I wear that with my gloves that say beer me. Okay.
You're good to go. You look comfortable. You're going to be comfortable, because low key, you look casual. But deep inside those fibers, they are designed for athletic action.
Yes, they are.
Damn, why wouldn't everybody buy Hand Up?
Well, hopefully our friends are going to go use our promo code and buy themselves anything.
Go get yourself some.
We have a code that's going to give you 10% off anything you want to buy from Hand Up.
Hit him with that code, my man.
Oh, yeah. We got local roots, but the S is with a money sign.
One more time.
Local roots, LOCALROOT, money sign.
All right. So once again, that is local root money sign. Hand Up. Thank you. Welcome to Local Roots Podcast.
What is up? Wait. You know, last time we had like a, what did I say? It was like beers, bikes, boards, and bros. Could that be our steak? That's our like new line in.
Not, let's refine that. Say it with that confidence level, then it's never.
I feel like one day we'll be able to. Like, it's almost like our intro is not having an intro, or saying that one day we'll have an intro.
I think so. But now that you said it, now it can't be our thing.
Now it's too meta that it can't be a thing.
All right. Well, you know, we'll work on it. Maybe maybe our guest tonight might have some input.
That would be cool. Let's introduce our guest. He is on YouTube, and better than that, he's a Michigan local. He goes on YouTube as Duke of MTB, but we're going to introduce him as Ed. Come on in, my man.
Hello, everybody. This is Ed from the Duke of MTB, or at least half of the Duke of MTB.
Right. Yeah, let's get that out of the way. So you kind of co-host a YouTube channel. Is that the way you'd say it? Or like co-run it? Or co-star?
You know what? Maybe co-star, but I like mostly I think my wife is the star. I just put the videos together.
Okay. I think like I might agree with you.
Yeah, true. Nobody recognizes me on, like, when we're riding a local trail. It's always they hear somebody with an accent say, "Yeah, boy," and they just know that that's my wife.
I swear, you're onto something, though, because I watched one video of yours and I was like, I got to reach out to these guys. They're just, it looks like you're having so much fun out there. Like, I mean, you kind of told us before, sure, there's some times where you could get frustrated, but the fun times way outweigh the
The priority times, right? Is the fun. Absolutely.
Exactly.
We go out to ride for fun, like Strava and all this time in ourselves exercise. What's that?
Yeah. And but you also do, you know, it seems like you guys are like skill progressing too, though. So that's, you know, like you're working on your I've been totally stalking like your Instagrams and stuff. So it looks like you're always trying new lines out, some getting your what's it called? Brian, help me out here. I'm floundering.
We're all about the sessioning. That's
your
for sure.
Sessioning and your
oh, your flippies. That's what I was looking
and
for.
Your stickies. Yeah, all of those things.
I don't know if it's that fancy, but yeah, we're trying because, you know, people want to see that regular people can progress and relatively quickly if you actually try, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So,
Ed, what are you guys riding right now? Oh, sorry, Brian.
Oh, you cut out a little bit there. What was that now?
I'm curious, what kind of bikes you guys riding right now? I know it looked like one of you guys got a new bike. I can't remember who, though.
Yes, I will get to that. So for the full suspension bikes, I ride a 2017 Trek Remedy. Everything's been kind of swapped out, so it's custom. Okay. And then my wife rides an extra small Canyon Spectral. Cool. Pretty much by default. Not a lot of options for small folks out there.
Extra small, yeah, man, I bet.
And now with the new bike, it is actually a kid's commensal meta.
Oh my gosh.
That was the only way we were gonna get a hardtail with aggressive geometry that fits her.
Does that help with pricing, having it be kids?
It's definitely a lot cheaper than the big boy bike. Cool. But yeah, it's like there was no choice. We wanted, there's a lot of small bikes but they're like cross country for folks that are 4'11". But when it comes to like aggressive geo, you know, like at least 65 degree head angle, that kind of stuff, that was the only option. A kid's bike.
Wow. I mean, I'm impressed that you found something, you know? That's a hard niche to fill.
Super hard. Like, it's a miracle that we found this Canyon Spectral in extra small. If you look at the pictures, it looks like the reach is 1 foot.
That's wild. So now, do you have any hardtails, or are you just rocking that Remedy?
Just the Remedy, but I want to get a hardtail. Actually, the idea was I wanted to get a hardtail, and then my wife was like, why? And then I explained to her why it would be awesome, especially for the local stuff, because you don't want to be hauling around a 35-pound bike on a lot of local Michigan trails. So I was like, I want a hardtail because it'll be more fun, and then we can use it at Race Park Pike in Ohio during the winters.
Okay.
And then she was like, I want one. So then I got her one. And then now I don't have one because it's all out of stock.
You got her one. Yeah. That's so funny. I love it. And you did hit on something that might be worth talking about, of just like how everyone in Michigan's hardtail. Like, if you see someone with a full suspension and it's like, and you don't travel, like,
yeah,
where are you riding? Unless you're going to the UP, like, you really don't need a full suspension around here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we went with the Remedy and the Spectral. They're just aggressive enough that they're going to work in places like Pisgah and the UP, but not too bad for the local stuff. Because our idea originally was we're just going to have the one bike each, and that's it. We're going to make this work with everything from XC to downhill. We take it to the bike parks too.
That's awesome.
That's quite the boxes to check to be one bike to rule them all there.
Yeah. I spend almost every single day repairing these freaking things. That's the downside. That's why we need a hardtail, no linkage, no replacing pivot bearings and all that stuff.
That's something we've said since the first episode. Like, if you're looking for a bike, like, just know the more features or more pieces to the bike, the more things that can go wrong.
Inevitably, they
will go wrong.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Anytime anybody asks, my recommendation is just go with a hardtail.
It's easier.
But
I mean, there are these XC rocket ships that are full squish, and they are definitely 100% faster than a hardtail is, just because of how they're designed. But I think there's a lot of cool shit going on. So I know Cannondale just released their new Scalpel. That has like the carbon flexes, so you're taking out a whole nother pivot. And Trek had the Super Cal, which I'm obsessed with. And I think that's kind of where things are going. And I'm interested to see how far that you can use that frame flex if you do want like more travel. I know for the Cannondale Scalpel, they made a more aggressive one, and they're getting 130 mil of travel out the back with flexing stays, which is crazy to me that they're able to do that. And I think that's kind of where we're all kind of going, is this direction of less shit to move and less things to break.
Yeah, maybe. Simplicity for the win.
Yeah. Right. You know, you did hit on something, because I just got my new bike and I was looking at everything that Trek had, and man, that SuperCal, it was so cool. But like, I think, what is it, like 110 travel in the front unless you swap out the fork, or like even if you put a different fork on it, wouldn't it make sense with it? It's only 100?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not crazy doing... No, yeah. I take that back. Even with, I have 130 right now and I've bottomed out. So like,
I'd be kind of sketched out with that, with the, you know, using the flex of the frame and then like doing a huck to flat drop with it or something.
Yeah.
Like so how far can you push it? You know,
that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Like, so how, and the cost of learning where that breaking point, like it doesn't just like,
oh yeah,
like it has to like explode and like,
exactly.
That's, I think Corey would make a good
you
bike
get flung
tester.
Into the Oh man, it's I mean, bike tech is definitely sweet. There's some new shit out every day, which is awesome. Also infuriating when you just bought a bike and your bike is now like, you know, exactly. There's something cooler out now.
And it's they were just talking about 32s and 36ers coming out, and I'm like, Corey's never gonna find a bike that fits her. Then like the 27.5 is already a problem. I considered putting 26 wheels on her bike.
Did you?
Butt rub, yeah. There is. She goes off a drop sometimes with tire marks on her behind.
Butt rub?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, butt rub by the tire, basically.
Oh,
when you go off a steep drop sometimes.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Tires are too
Brian, I got to know what you thought you said.
Sounds like screen. I don't know. I'm just thinking about like, I had like tire like knobs going really fast in that area. Doesn't sound great to me.
No.
I've seen like videos of people's like if they're wearing like half of like or like an unzipped jersey or something, mm-hmm. and it gets sucked into their back tire. Yeah. That'll happen.
I've ripped a couple of shorts that way. You're just leaning back so far, holding on for dear life, and then your tires are like, your shorts are mine.
Yeah, I love that. You're not getting them back.
It's like, where's that breeze coming from?
Oh wait, I have a giant hole in my shorts.
I have spent a whole day at Blue Mountain in Ontario with my underwear basically sticking out because I didn't even realize my shorts were ripped. Oh wow. Man, good times.
It sounds like it. I don't think it is embarrassing because it's like a cool way to ruin your shorts. It's like, yeah, I was doing some gnarly jumps. What of it?
Yeah. I ripped my shorts like a boss. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
So, Ed, we're excited. We have, you know, we have a kind of a famous YouTube guy on our podcast who is local to Michigan. What primarily, like, what trails do you guys stick to around Michigan?
The super duper popular DT Energy Foundation trails, of course.
Nice. Okay. I have yet to ride DTE, and I'm embarrassed to say that I haven't ridden it yet.
You're not a real Michigander, then.
I have a really hard time. Larry, I was talking to you about this. So Larry and I both live in Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. And I have such a hard time traveling outside of Grand Rapids to go to different trails because there are some just really like primo trails in this area.
Yeah, you guys have some awesome stuff. Canonsburg, that's near you guys, right?
Yeah, that's like 10 minutes from both of our houses.
Oh, man, that place is great.
You liked it, yeah.
We just went there, what was it, two weekends ago?
I saw like a thumbnail for your video you made, but in all honesty, I did not watch it yet.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the trail?
Oh, we didn't ride the trail. We went there for the skills area because the southeast portion of the state does not have a lot of like drops and jumps or anywhere to really practice. Mm-hmm. There used to be one at Stony Creek, but they flattened it out and now it's just a dog park. You know, people take their dogs there to walk and stuff. So that's kind of sad. I know, right? There's nowhere to go to like hit drops and stuff. There might be some hidden stuff, but that's something else.
Right. What'd you think of the skills area?
It's freaking amazing. It's
wild.
It has everything you need. And then there's that massive steep drop. We considered it. We did not hit that, though.
The wall, they call it?
I don't know what it's called, but it looks fall right off the cliff.
Yep.
Yep.
I've actually only been to that section once. We do the trail a lot, right? A lot is compared to the other hills. But yeah, that skill section, I'm going to be honest, it scares the hell out of me.
Oh yeah, me too. Freaking everything scares the hell out of me when it comes to mountain biking. It's all about kind of fighting that fear.
Oh yeah.
Not an issue for Corey. She just sends it. I have to actually pull her back. Yeah. If like, I didn't like stop her, she would just fly off a cliff and die.
Oh God.
I was like, I have to be like, honey, not a good idea, maybe.
That's so great. Yeah, let's kind of reel this back to kind of like learning a little more about you. So like, can you walk us through like kind of how the, not only the YouTube channel started, but maybe mm-hmm. how you and Corey met and who got who into mountain biking and then just kind of maybe how that erupted into a YouTube channel?
Okay, yeah, sure. So let's start from the beginning, how we met. I was born
a long time.
I'm kidding. Yeah, we met back in college. She was doing some assignment at a computer cafe, and I was like, "Oh, that's all wrong. Here, let me fix it. And here, sit in this computer here, and just Facebook, and I'll fix your essay or whatever it was." And that was it. Now we've been together for 13 years.
How romantic!
Yeah, super romantic. There's a little bit more to it, but it's like, yeah, that's got nothing to do with mountain biking. So
sure. Where was college at?
Oh, we actually both went to college in the Philippines.
Okay.
We don't mention it often on the channel, but I am of Polish and Filipino descent. My wife is pure Filipino. That's pretty obvious, I think. And I went to university there and met her there. And I just, you know, brought her back with me because she's amazing.
All right. That's awesome. Philip Polak, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, Phil Polak, absolutely. Kielbasa and rice in one meal.
Yep. You know what? I can handle that. Now we're talking.
Are you Polish? Thinking about it, it's super delicious.
I have German in me, which kielbasa and sauerkraut. That's close.
Yeah. So yeah, the mountain biking thing. We bought some Walmart bikes. I think that's how it starts for a lot of people. We bought some Walmart bikes.
Yeah. Mongoose, baby.
Yeah, stop that or Huffy, right? And then we went to Dodge Park and I brought my wife with me. And she thought, you know, like we both thought it was the most exhilarating thing ever. And she thought that too. We broke the bikes like right away, by the way. The derailleurs just got mangled day one and returned it. And then after that, we got us some real XC hardtails and just kept riding because, you know, Corey's sort of an adrenaline junkie, and I prefer mountain biking and being in control versus going to some roller coaster stuff because that's what we did before. Anytime she wanted some thrills, go to a Cedar Point or whatever, and I just like hold on to dear life because I don't really enjoy roller coasters.
So mountain biking was kind of that middle ground.
Yeah, like, it was the middle ground.
At least if we're going to do something crazy, I want to control my speed.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. If I'm going to fly off into the abyss, at least I did it and it was my choice or something. I don't know.
No, the sense of control thing. Yeah. Wait, yeah, dude, not to backtrack too. sorry, but not to backtrack too much. What brought you guys back to Michigan, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, so before I went to the Philippines, we actually lived here in Michigan. Used to live in Hamtramck. Gotcha. Big, you know, was a big part of the Polish community there.
Absolutely.
Went to an almost all Polish school, all that. It's like, I might not look it, but I'm like super Polish.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like, yeah, go back to Michigan because that's what I know.
Have you ever been to Pulaski Days in Grand Rapids?
No, not in Grand Rapids, no.
Okay. It's wild. Right.
We'll have to do an in-person reunion day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get back my to Polish your garb. Yeah, so what was I saying? All right. Okay.
You finally got upgraded to some real bikes and you guys started getting the adrenaline fixes you needed.
Yeah. So we started watching some YouTube channels where people are sending it and being super steezy and awesome. And we're like, that's what we want to do. So like 1 month after buying those XC bikes, we sold them right away and got trail bikes. So mine was that Remedy, had it since 2017. But Corey's first bike was a Rocky Mountain Altitude, I think, like a 2015 or something. And that's what we used everywhere. And the channel wasn't even in the back of my mind yet. I think the channel started because we were going to go on vacation to Alberta. I don't know if you watched the first few vids, but they're all in Canada.
My wife was like, around, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, those first few vids aren't that great. You know, first few vids, I was still learning to edit and all that. But anywho, she's like, hey, you know what? We should get a GoPro so we can record some steezy stuff and post it on Facebook. And I was like, no, that's, you know, it's not going to work out. We're going to buy this GoPro. It's going to sit in a drawer. We're never going to use it. But she insisted because I was like, you know, expectations versus reality. Most of the time, whatever you record, like you feel like a badass and then you watch it and then it's like, nope, super embarrassing.
Well, not great.
But she insisted, so I got the GoPro and I just recorded our whole vacation. And when I got to editing, I was like, if I'm going to edit this, I'm going to do it right. So it just kind of went from there.
Like, if I'm going to put this work in, people better see this.
Like I'm just going to go ahead straight to YouTube, put it on there, you know, just act like I've always had a YouTube channel, most normal thing in the world. And then I just kept doing it from there until the channel kind of evolved and developed its own style with the 360 cam on Corey's forehead, which I don't know if people are really into that, but I just keep doing it.
It has like a unique, what's the word? Like not a lot of people do the 360 stuff, which I really like. I had a 360 camera and I was so excited to do like videos with it, but editing 360 video is the biggest nightmare. Like you have to convert it to what's called like a proxy file.
Yeah. And then you have to do that.
Yeah, you do. Oh my God. And then you have to like reconvert it. And then rendering the video itself is just like mind-numbingly
forever.
But like you could do some really cool stuff. It just takes, you know, 6 years.
Yeah, it's a total nightmare. It's a lag fest during editing. And then sometimes you'll try to encode it or render it. And then there's something wrong. And now you got to go through another 12 hours of trying that again. Post something on Instagram. Sorry, folks. 1 day delay.
Yikes.
Oh, no. Yep.
It's funny. Well, I think that's so cool how like you guys both found something that you liked and that you're able to share it with people. And I really got to encourage anyone listening to this who hasn't checked out. The channel is called The Duke of MTB. You got to check out at least a couple of these videos. I started with the DTE video because obviously I was looking at some Michigan trails and I was like, oh, these guys rule. It's so fun.
Oh, thanks, dude. You're making me blush.
Oh, please.
That's awesome. That is sweet. Have you guys ridden any other trails around like the GR area?
Just Cannonsburg. That's the first time that we've driven, you know, towards the west side of the state.
Okay.
Outside of the southeast stuff, Boyne Highlands and then UP, Marquette, Copper Harbor.
I love Marquette. Marquette's one of my favorite places. Not a ton of like jumps and stuff, but it was a blast.
Yeah, it's super fun. So much variety. I still lean more towards Copper Harbor though, because it's kind of nice to have a shuttle.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. You know what? At Marquette, I think the one loop I did was like 5 miles, and I had like over 1,000 feet of climbing in just 5 miles, which to me,
it's like good for anything,
anything in Grand Rapids is like 5 miles is at the most 500 feet. So it was like double anything I was used to. And I was just like, nope. Downhill was worth it.
The amazing thing after coming back from the UP when we were like came back here, like we used to like groan about just Stony Creek, one lap on Stony Creek. And I was like, ugh, these climbs suck. And you know, they're like, they're not that bad. And then you come back and it's like, wow, this is so easy. Like suddenly everything's like super easy. Because you know, you're just, you come down and then you got to grind back up that freaking hill in Marquette over and over again, 50 times or whatever.
Sure. But
it's good for you, you know?
Yikes.
That's great. So, and then you seems like you travel a lot too. Is that kind of like your goal is to like explore as many trails as you can? Or do you just like find one day and you're like, you know what? Let's go here.
At first it started out with, we just wanted to find the coolest stuff we could that was within a driving distance.
Sure.
So before North Carolina, it was Blue Mountain in Ontario, because from us, it's only 4 hours from Macomb County. And it's like, nobody seems to be aware of this place. Like everybody knows about Boyne, but like nobody even considered, hey, what about just crossing over the Canadian border? And there's some amazing stuff
really
right there. That is an amazing bike park.
I've never thought of that. And that sounds sweet.
Yeah, so like after I found out, I was like, this place is the same drive for me as Boyne Highlands. And so it's like anytime I meet a mountain biker, I'm like, you have to go.
Man, that's
tell
such
everybody
a,
about it.
What a little hack that you're sharing with the whole world. You're going to be crowded next time
it's
you like,
head
yeah,
there. Now it's going to be crowded.
It's already
I say
crowded.
Whole world,
over
AKA,
there.
Like, what?
So many Michiganders there.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah.
And then after that, we kind of spread out. And the next thing was North Carolina, Pisgah, mostly because of like Seth bike hacks, you know?
Sure. Like, yeah. That, you know? you mentioned before we started talking that you go to North Carolina a lot. Is that just because of the trails or do you like have family there? What brings you to North Carolina?
It's just the trails and the direct drive. You know, you're just on the highway the whole time and it's the closest it's the closest place you can drive to with like really long descents, you know.
Interesting.
You don't have to go to like to the west side of the country or go to Washington State or whatever. Just 12-hour drive straight south, and there you go. Massive mountains.
Interesting.
Know, huge trails that take all day.
Okay.
Well, I was going to ask that because I don't know about you, Brian, but ever since we talked to Paul that one episode, and he has it planted in my mind. Like his whole thing was like, next time you think of like buying a bike upgrade, don't, and maybe spend it on a trip and ride someplace you haven't rode before. But obviously you can't fly right now. So what would be like the coolest place that's drivable from Michigan? And it sounds like Ed might have that inside scoop.
Oh, yeah. Blue Mountain. That is your first stop
like
outside of Michigan. Yeah, Blue Mountain.
All right.
Before
although
anything.
Before you telling us how dreadful it was right before we started?
Oh, the Blue Mountain I'm talking about is the Blue Mountain Bike Park in Ontario. You're thinking
oh,
Black
yeah,
Mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
Black okay. Mountain in okay. Pisgah. Okay. Total okay. nightmare. If it's your first time in Pisgah, do not go to Black Mountain unless you want to die.
Right.
And do not do it alone because you will die. You will die. It's oh man, you know how before we started, I mentioned how like occasionally there'll be like one of us will break down and I just cut it out of the video because nobody yeah. wants to see people crying, right? These are one of those trails where we were like all pretty much just crying. It's like, why wow. did we do this? We should have ridden a different trail. But you know, once you get past the halfway point, it's an amazing trail. It just starts out with like, bring extra water. And food.
And for sure.
What's the total length that you were looking at?
I don't know. I think it's 10 miles total.
Okay.
But half of that is just climbing.
So like
maybe
5
more.
Miles of misery. And then you're like 5 miles
I think
of
it's
fun.
More.
Wow.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Yikes.
After that, the other nightmare that I would not recommend is Heartbreak Ridge. There's a reason it's called that. I think that was our last video. I did not put the climb in, didn't record at all.
And like, that was in, is that North Carolina as well, right?
Yeah, that's still North Carolina. Yep, still Pisgah, our favorite go-to vacation place, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. A five-mile climb, five-mile descent from the road where you're parking, which doesn't sound like a lot, but 5 miles straight up, nonstop.
That sounds like a lot.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're
terrifying.
Yeah, this is not a smooth gravel road. This is over, like, gnarly stuff. Some sections you need to be Danny McCaskill to clear. It's just not gonna happen. It's not even 5 miles of climbing
like
on your
reference.
Bike. It's 5 miles of walking.
Oh man.
Hiking.
That's
total nightmare.
I bitch if I have to get off my bike to go around like a mud puddle. That's
oh,
like
totally,
100
yeah.
yards
oh,
long.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ah, oh, this is done. This why am I walking?
now you're seeing the dark side of same here.
The dark side of Brian, yeah.
Yeah, or the dark side of the YouTube videos, you know, because everybody gets to see the happy stuff, right? But
oh yeah,
yeah.
See the downhill.
This is great.
Yeah. You're not gonna include the part where you're like wheezing, like you know, gonna have an asthma attack or something.
I don't know about you guys, but with this weather change all of a sudden, so technically I had asthma as a kid, but mm-hmm. I haven't like had like a flare up or anything, but I don't know what it is this year, or it's my first summer living in Grand Rapids. If like the weather's different or like there's different bugs in the air, I don't know what it is, but like the humidity is just like killing me on my rides lately.
You just can't handle that GR air, huh?
I guess. Too much pollution.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people having problems breathing lately.
I've been, well, cause it went from, I think I rode
probably like 3 weeks ago, I rode, I think, in snow. And now it is like there was snow flurries. And now I'm from 90 to like 100% humidity in like 2 days. It's just like,
that's Michigan for you.
Sweet. Here we go. Yeah. Oh
my goodness. Spring, what's that? Let's just go straight from winter to summer and from summer to winter. Skip everything in between.
That's, yeah, you couldn't say it better than that, because I was just telling my wife that. It's like, what the heck? Like, we had the last month was a 50-50 split of like below 40 and above like 75. Like, nothing spring about that.
Sometimes in the same day. It could be snowing in the morning and then 90 degrees in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Hey, Michigan for you.
Yeah, that's a great promo to invite people to move here. Come to Michigan.
Come on down. Come ride our fun
beautiful
trail.
Guys.
We'll be wheezing and sweating and then cold as hell.
It's awesome.
Cold and hot in the same day.
Isn't that the dream?
Yeah.
I want to kind of shift the subject if you guys don't mind. Brian, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. We've been talking about how Ed and Corey, they do their rides together. Brian recently was engaged. And first of all, congratulations, my man.
Hey, thank you.
Congratulations, dude.
Thank you. Before I dive into this story,
I gotta take a
30-second break. Hold on.
Oh my goodness.
Gotta keep the suspense up. All right, I'm back. I had to if I need to tell this story, I wanted to tell it with special glass that Leary and his wife Amber dropped off to Alexa and I, and I had to wet the whistle with the beer that you guys dropped off.
Which one? We dropped off two different variety packs. What's it called? Because one's a 4-pack and one's a 6-pack.
One's a 6-pack. You gave us the Incessant from Bell's and the Super Goza from Dogfish Head.
Yes.
And this one, I'm diving into the Incessant because.
And have you had it before?
I have.
Dang it. I was like, Brian tells me about every single beer. And just a quick background. This man has tried every single beer possible. And I thought, man, this is new. I've never seen it in the store before. And I was so excited to get it for him as like a little engagement gift. And
no, it was awesome. I knew what the thought was, Larry. And Friday morning before we went up north, I went grocery shop and I specifically went to Knapp's because I was like, they have better beer. They'll have Incessant. They didn't have it. And I was like, shit. So then I made the stop at the party store where your brother-in-law lives.
Knapp's Corner.
Knapp's
Corner. Yeah, Grapevine or something.
There you go. Yep, whatever that grapevine. Yep. And then and they had it and I tried it. But the good thing is I drank them all up north and I got home and I was like, damn, I really wish we had more. And then magically, there were 4 more on our picnic table when we got home.
All right.
Thank you guys. That was an incredibly awesome, awesome surprise. Amber and Larry also got Alexa and I these like really dope beer glasses that say like, mine says Lucky Mr. Davis. I think Alexa says like Future Mrs. Davis. I don't know.
You betcha.
Very, very cool.
Although we ordered those like very shortly after you told us, and then all of a sudden we see like people getting you gifts and they were like of the same thing that we got you, like just of a different writing. And I was like, no, why isn't ours in the mail yet? So like so now you have like 4 different pint glasses that say something just slightly different, like Happy Mrs. Davis and Lucky Mrs. Davis. You got 2 all different right. glasses.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the record, we'll pretend that these ones we got were first since you ordered them first. So the other one, if we do throw any of them out, we won't throw yours out.
And I'm sure you'll get plenty of Mr. and Mrs. gifts between now and the wedding that you'll never want another wedding gift ever again.
I don't know. So far, I think this is my favorite beer glass. This is pretty sweet. So to dive into the story, it's kind of a long story.
I want to hear about how you popped the cue.
I'll try and make it as short as possible.
Sure. Before we get into it, Edward, did you have any annoying wedding gifts?
Or like annoying wedding gifts?
I don't know. It's funny because we were just talking, like, I know I got like what Brian just did. He got like within a month of telling people they're engaged, four different sets of pint glasses that say happy Mr. and Mrs. Davis, because they know Brian likes beer and that the last name is Davis.
It's the perfect gift from everybody. We're going to use them all. And okay, I'm not, we're not going to throw anybody's glasses out. That was a mean thing to say. Of course, we're not going to do that, but we gotta cut down on some of our glassware.
You have so many
pint glasses.
That's the thing about wedding gifts. You end up, the people give you stuff that you already have. Here's a third microwave, you know, 50 glasses for your beer.
And it's like, I'm so glad registries exist for a reason, but some people, they just don't care. They're like, I know that someone said they got you this, but it wasn't from me, so I'm going to get you the same thing, but this one's for me.
Yeah, you better keep that one.
Yeah, right. You return the other one.
Or you can just like keep gifting it to each other in circles.
Now you're on to something.
It's just like, yeah, like the last name.
A lot
name.
Of people do that. Oh, and you just don't remember that you gave them this thing 5 years ago and now they're giving it back to you. And you're like, oh, so sweet. That's exactly what I would have gotten you, because it is.
Yeah. Is that the same teal blue spatula that I got you?
Oh my God, this is crazy. You have the same taste.
The last thing before we move on is I think we got a total of 8 spatulas and 2 of them were like the exact same ones. Like, I guess we need spatulas. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you grill a lot. Yeah, it's a cool gift. I don't know.
Sure. And no, I don't
that's
want to
some
sound
aggressive
like
grilling if you need that many, breaking them every time.
The thing is, I think we really do use them all still. Like, we didn't return, like, you're not going to spend the effort to return like a $6 spatula.
No, yeah, no, you use the shit out of that.
We just own this many spatulas now. Yeah, but whatever. Yeah, I don't want to sound ungrateful or anything. Our wedding was wonderful. Brian, carry on with your story before everybody hates me.
I was gonna say, yeah, I feel like what I said sounded ungrateful with the glasses that other people.
I hope, I think people understand.
We get the gift. Okay, we love them and we're gonna use the hell out of them. They're great. And right. I mean, we love beer, so we're gonna use it. Okay, so Brian, moving on.
Ask Alexa, Mary.
All right. So, a lot of things went like horribly wrong, and everything.
That's why I want to hear this story.
Everything ended up working out. So. Rewind to me wanting to ask her father for her hand. And I'm like, all right, cool. We had this big trip planned with her family. It was somebody's birthday and it had a big thing. We're going to be on a boat and stuff like that in Detroit for the weekend. It was going to be great. And I was like, this is sweet. I'm going to be able to pull her dad aside, you know, buy him a beer, get her brother some beer, you know, hang out and, you know, just us, and then I can talk to them and it can be kind of like a, you know, a more like serious.
You wanted that emotional, manly bonding moment.
Yeah.
With your
yeah. Like family is super important to me. But for the McFarlane's family it's more important than I thought anything could be to them. So it was key. It had to happen.
Gotcha.
And then COVID happened and I'm like, oh, fuck, okay, we're not doing that. And then Alexa had, you know, whatever we're doing. And she had told me at some point that her parents were coming to visit Grand Rapids because they had just bought a new like toy hauler camper thing. This thing's crazy, by the way, but anyways,
toy hauler.
And yeah, you can like, it's like a really luxurious camper that you can also like put motorcycles in the back. I don't know.
Sounds awesome.
It's like, I was like, that's the perfect like race rig for like, you know, mountain bike events. But anyway,
carry out, yeah.
And she had told me this at some point and I was just like, yeah. And I didn't store it in the, you know, my memory folders. And I'm at work and she's like, yeah, my parents are going to be here soon. And I'm like, what? Oh, they're coming here. She's like, yeah, I told you that like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I'm thinking, and I'm like, I'm like, all right. Well, no, I'm not going to ask your dad now. Like, I'm not prepared. I wanted to have like a speech or something like that. And I'm like, whatever. And then they got
like
here.
Straight from movie stuff or something.
I know, right?
Oh man. I feel like I've watched this somewhere.
Oh no. And then they get here and I'm in mid conversation with her dad and her father. Love him to death. He can talk for about not important things for a very, very long time. And
it's a good skill to have.
we're outside and he's looking at like the tires on my Jeep and he's talking about stuff. And at this point I'm like, I need to ask today because I don't know when I'm going to see them next. I don't know how long, you know, these COVID restrictions are going to be. I don't know. I need to do it now. And I'm like, okay. So I started sweating. I'm like, oh God. Okay. And he keeps talking about these tires. He's talking about the dimensions of his trailer. And I'm like, I'm not listening at all. And then eventually I'm like, Hey, Gary, his name is Gary. I said, Gary, I gotta run downstairs real quick. I gotta grab something for us. I'll meet you back here at the cars. And Alexa and her mom were on our back porch of our house. And he goes, all right, I'll meet you back by the girls. And I'm like, no, Gary, I need to meet you back at the cars. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, well, at least he knows this is coming. It'll be a little easier. And I go downstairs. I get a beer. And I bring it up to him. And he's like, oh, beer, huh? I'm like, he's like, I haven't had beer in a long time. I'm drinking a lot of Crystal Light. I've been trying to watch my calories. And he talked about not drinking beer for like 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is so nerve wracking. I'm like sweat pouring out of my head, out of my armpits.
And you don't want to cut him off because then you have to say that you've been now waiting a half hour between Crystal Light and tire pressure.
You can't even loosen him up with alcohol. So
no, I'm like, you're not even drinking it. I'm like, nothing. Oh my gosh. So it's like 35 minutes into this whole thing. I'm like, finally, I did stop and I'm like, Gary, hey, I got this for a reason. Then I asked him, and it went great. You know, he hugged me, said, you know, of course you'd be honored. You have you part of the family and all that fun stuff. But so that was cool. Anyone listening who knows,
and I don't want to say this just to make fun of you. I want to say it for how sweet of a guy you are, but you cried, didn't you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I didn't cry right then. But her parents were there and I went to go get takeout food for like we were eating dinner, like on our like social distance dinner because we hadn't seen them since Christmas. And I bawled my eyes out on my way like to get dinner. I was like, oh my God.
Guys, we got a class A sweetie here. Look alive.
Yeah. It kind of hit me that I was on the way to the culmination of kind of just everything and like life was kind of leading up. This is like the most important thing that I'm about to do is ask, you know, Alexa to marry me is the first step into that. But yeah, so.
Edward, I felt like we cut you off.
I was just going to say that it's just such an amazing story. It's like the way you even tell it, it's like, wow, this guy's really good at telling stories.
Oh, I've never heard that in my life, so thank you.
Yeah, it was great, dude. I was like, okay, so what happened next? I feel like a girl in a sleepover or something.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the rest because now you got to ask Alexa.
Yeah, so now for the actual proposal. I always knew I wanted to ask her on my family's lake up at our cabin. It's in Everett. It's on a really small lake. And we just have a lot of like emotional ties to a lot of memories there. So I knew it had to be there and it had to be on my father's Glastron boat. It had to be. It couldn't be on anybody else's boat. It had to be this boat. Mm-hmm. And I figured, you know, we're up there all the time. It's going to be easy. And I was kind of planning for like end of summer, honestly, to ask her. And then I got to thinking that I don't know when I would have a really, really good opportunity for just the two of us to be up there. I saw the weather was supposed to be nice.
Sure. And you'd have people like me and our other annoying friends up in your face. And that's kind of hard to be romantic when you have a horse, shotgun beers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's honestly what my initial plan was, to have you guys all there. I wanted my parents there. I wanted her parents there to be able to like swing out on the boat too and like meet us. And we could just like party the rest of the weekend. That was my initial idea. And then I think Alexa at some point said something. It was about somebody else's proposal. I was like, oh, that's great. Like, it's like, that's just their time together. I think it was actually a really good friend, Tyler and Caitlin's proposal. And you and Amber, like it was just you guys there.
Sure. Yeah.
For your event. So I was like, I think that's what she wants. And I think that's what I want. So I called, our boat was in storage, and this is the start of things going bad, is that I called the place, and we've been having our boat stored there forever. We'll hang out with them. you know, the guys that come up, I'm like, hey, I want to pick up my dad's bow. And he's like, they're like, yeah, that's cool. Just have him call ahead. We'll just to get the thing, make sure you're not trying to steal his boat. I'm like, yeah, I get it. And they're like, but yeah, actually, you know what? We need 2 weeks before you can get the boat. And I'm like, jeez, fuck. I'm like, well, I wanted to go up tomorrow. And they're like, yeah, no, 2 weeks. I'm like, all right. Let me know what you can do. And they're like, okay. I'm like, all right. And I'm all bummed out. And this was Thursday afternoon. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to go up on the weekend anyway. We're going to have fun, but the proposal is not going to happen. I'm like, okay. And before we went up north, I went mountain biking actually at Canonsburg Friday morning. And I'm out on the trail and I get a phone call and I see who it is. I'm like, oh, it's from, you know, where this boat place is. I'm like,
the boat doctor himself.
The boat doctor himself called me back and he's like, hey, we can get your boat to you tomorrow morning. I was like, sweet, this is great. And they're like, wow, you're excited. And I was like, yeah, I'm really, really excited. I cannot, this is great.
Did they know that? Did you use that as like leverage? Were you like,
no,
I actually, there's a proposal on the line here, sir. I need my damn boat.
At one point I thought about it, but then I was like, they're going to give it away at some point. Like if we go to pick it up and they have like streamers on the damn thing or something like that. Okay. So I mean,
that's a little presumptuous, but sure.
I don't know.
Way to cover your bases.
So I'm super pumped. I'm like, hell yeah, this is badass. So this is Friday. Saturday morning, Alexa and I go drive there to get the boat. And the boat's out front. It's like a massive like boatyard. And our boat's just right in front of the driveway getting ready to pick up. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. And we get there and the guy's like, oh, I didn't call you. I'm like, fuck you mean? No, you didn't call me. And he goes, oh, yeah, your boat's not. He's like, your boat's not ready. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, the starter's bad. You can't, it's no good. You know, you can't have it right now. And I was like, okay, all right, cool.
And he's like, ready right away, right?
And then he goes, yeah. Then he's like, well, you know, I'm getting tired of this bullshit working on this boat all the time. It always needs a new starter. I'm gonna fix it an hour and a half. If you get this off my yard, like, now. And I was like, sure. And I'm like, this guy was just super
same
mean.
Guy who you thought would have streamers waiting for you.
Oh, definitely not. He definitely would not have had streamers. 100% no. This man was very, very mean. And I should have been upset, but instead I was like, oh my god, yes, thank you so much. And Alexa was like, why are you so happy? Why were you so nice to that guy? I'm like, I it's great. I want to be nice. It's, you know, it's a good thing. So yeah. Get the boat, go back to the cabin. All right, cool. Launch the boat. Great. And I'm like, all right, hey, honey, I'm going to go in. We're going to get some beverages and get ready to go, which means I need to find, anyway, I got to get the ring, put it in my pocket and, you know, get the thing going. And all right, cool. Get the cooler. Got the ring in my pocket. Start walking down the stairs to back to the boat from the cabin. And my neighbor walks up and she's like, oh my God, I have not seen you guys all winter. And 45 minutes later, then
45.
I'm like, all right, like, that's great. Like, she's awesome. But like, holy shit, I want to go. And we start walking out further. And then our other neighbors directly next to us are like, hey, kids, we haven't seen you all winter. Come on over. And they already pulled chairs out and he's got a case of beer out. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot do this. And then I'm like, okay, we'll just have one and then we'll go. And then like, I had one, and then the neighbor hands me another one. I'm like, oh God, okay, well, I guess I'll have another. Pull my leg.
Because you can't tell Alexa like how badly you just want to go on a boat ride, which is just something you do all the time. So it's like,
oh no,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, she was like, honey, are you okay? Are you being a little rude? And I'm like, no, I just, it's hot out. I want to go on the boat. So then I go to the bathroom and I come back. I'm like, this is our out. I can just be like, we can go. And then he puts like another beer on my chair. Like, oh my God. And at this point I texted her brothers and I was like, guys, it's not happening today. Like it's not in the cards. But eventually, you know, we were able to go because it was going to start like, I think weather was supposed to get bad, but it didn't. So then we eventually did get on the boat and things went perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to ask her in the sun on the boat, got it recorded on the GoPro. And it was a total surprise because she had no idea that I was going to do it on such a wild day. So
That's the story.
And she's great that it worked out. I was worried that the whole day was going to go by without you getting your chance.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty nervous.
Brian, could you share? Maybe we could put it on our Instagram or something. But my favorite part of this is you had your Strava going because you did a Strava boat ride or canoe paddle for when you got engaged. And yes. There's two things I love about this is. One, you announced your engagement on Strava before anywhere else. That's just how much of a biker you are.
And such two, a mountain biker thing.
I know, isn't it? And then finally, since you had the Strava going, you had your heart rate monitor going. So you shared a screenshot of when you asked her, and that made me laugh so hard. I love it.
But now I want to know, what was your heart rate?
The heart rate skyrocketed up to like, I think it was up to like 160.
Jesus, you might as well have been doing squats or something.
Right. Yeah, that's the same when I'm climbing.
Oh, man.
It was pretty fun. Yeah, I Strava'd it because I wanted to always remember like the location of where it happened. But the reason that I could put it on Strava before anywhere else is that I don't really have family that mountain bike. So I was like, all right, you know, we told our friends immediately. So like, those are the ones who are going to look at Strava.
So your fiance, does she also ride or?
I got her mountain bike last year and she went over the bars a couple times and now we have her on a road bike and she loves it and I love road biking with her.
Yep. Corey goes over the bars. She's like, let's do it again.
Right, yeah, that's something unreal. Like I was just
that's not human. Like, I go over the bars. And I don't want to touch a bike for a couple of days.
People ask if she's like a Terminator from the future or something. Because if you've watched a lot of the videos, she crashes in almost every single one, and every time she just gets up and goes again. I've never thought like, yeah, I'm gonna do it again now that I've busted a rib.
That's such a cool mentality, though, because it's like she knows, like, okay, well, if that's the worst that can happen, then this time I'm gonna go conquer it.
That's what it is. Yeah,
I was gonna go faster next time.
She's crashed so much that she's just accepted it as a normal thing, and so when it happens, she just shrugs it off and goes again. It also kind of helps when you're only 100 pounds soaking wet, you know.
Not as much oomph. Maybe your bones are still green, like they bend instead of break, you know.
Yeah, like if you're 200 pounds and you stick your hand out to break your fall, you're gonna probably break your wrist or something, right? Or your collarbone. Yeah, but she does. It's like nothing. Gets up.
I can tell you the falls get worse when you pack on the pounds. I know from experience.
Yeah, oh man. I crashed once last year and had a bruised rib for months.
Oh no, that's the worst, especially on a rib where you can't like really do anything about it.
Ribs that's when we went and rode Black Mountain and all that stuff. So I was riding Black Mountain, basically like holding my breath on the descent so I don't shake my ribs too much.
Oh man. I
wasn't going to mess up my vacation just because of
I love that.
Busted rib.
Yeah, I'm hurt, but I want to get a ride.
Yeah. trying to do a Corey, basically, you know, like if she can do it, I can do it. I'm invincible.
That's great. So when you guys ride, is it ever let me frame this. Every once in a while, like Brian will invite me to ride or whatever, but I think I kind of like biking as like a solitude thing sometimes, mm-hmm. like getting away from the world, just like mm-hmm. going out in the woods by myself. Like I love going on group rides too, or riding with Brian or some of my friends. Do you guys always ride together, or do you also sometimes need to go off on your own and do your own?
Good question.
We almost always ride together. I don't feel like a ride is complete without her.
Oh my God. Now I'm going to cry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for reals.
This is the episode of love.
We do everything together. We're like legit, not just, you know, we're best friends and everything.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it is such beautiful. Like, I think I asked Bobo this during the episode, but like, it's so hard to get your significant other to ride. Like every one of our friends has bought their wife or girlfriend a mountain bike because it's just like all of our favorite things. And you obviously want to share that with the person you love. You want
I thank my lucky stars every day. Are you kidding me? It's freaking amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, sure, we still
go
on.
It's not even just that she rides. My best.
She rides hardcore. No, you're no, right.
Yeah, she spends it. That's like, you're lucky enough if you can convince your significant other to just ride with you, but to have somebody that sends it harder than you,
who's going faster, higher, further than you.
Yeah, it's like, if it's a descent, yeah, she's just gonna send it. She's gone. I'm a little bit more cautious. I'll beat her on the climbs because I'm me, and she has no interest in climbing. Like, sure. Zero. She baby gears it throughout the whole trail. And she only needs two gears on her cassette, the hardest one and the lightest one. Yeah. It's the lightest one for everything else, and then the hardest one to send it down. That's it.
Get her 1x2 gearing.
Yep, pretty much. That's what she needs.
Well, Brian, can we talk about that for a second? Do you ever wish, like, sometimes I feel like I just got the new 12 speed. I was so excited about it. I finally had Eagle, but now I'm like, damn, dude, I would be just as happy with like 10 or 9, but just spaced the same way Eagle is.
I really, so if you could shift like at least close to as smoothly as you can, at least with an 11 speed, I think I would be happier with a 9 speed with like bigger range. Well, yeah, a 9 speed.
I think Box Components make something like that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I'm not sponsored or anything like that. It's just, I think I saw it somewhere.
Duke of MTV.
They have a wide range, like 8 speed or something like that. And then you can use, those old chains that are a lot thicker, so it should last longer.
Also a lot cheaper to buy.
Sure. Yeah,
no clue about like how it shifts, though. Probably not that great.
probably pretty clunky, but
yeah.
That'd be the worst because you have such a big gap that like it would move and then it would shake and then you'd be... I don't think
even need Eagle for Michigan, to be honest. I still run. I
like having Eagle, but honestly, the last 2 months I couldn't even use Eagle because it was rubbing against my spoke, and I just been too lazy to take it in. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really missed it at all. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm as I call it, a sit and spin boy, and I don't mind on a big climb just like parking it in Eagle and just hanging out.
Yep,
like,
you and Corey would get along in that regard. Like I said, she's on that Eagle forever, always. All right.
I thought my 11 speed gearing was fine until I rode Larry's bike recently, and now I'm buying a new cassette that has like a bigger, you know, big gear.
Oh really?
That looks more like Eagle. Yeah, because I want the. I think it's nice to have that sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. Well, sometimes for sure. But then, Ed, it sounds like you're more of the guy, and I wish this was my mentality more often. But like, just put in the work and get the climb width done as fast as possible.
Oh yeah. For me, I just want to get to the top already and end the misery as quickly as possible.
Sure.
So it's not about like trying to beat any times. It's just I want it over. Yeah.
Brian, what'd you say? I missed you.
I was going to say, we're happy that your body allows you to do that, Ed. I don't think ours does.
It's a mind over matter thing because like
it is,
my knees are just shot. They are destroyed. So that's one more reason to just get it done so I can be finished with the pain part.
My problem, like I wish I could do that more, and sometimes I do, but it's just I know if I like power through climbs the way I want to, by mile like even like 6 or 7, I know I'm just toast for the day. Like if I don't like conserve all the energy I have, I can't go on a long ride.
Oh yeah. Like we don't show it in the videos, but we stop a lot.
That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, dude, it's like every time we get to the peak of anything, like at Pontiac Lake, get to the highest point, we always stop, take a nice 15 minute break, and then finish that descent in 10 seconds.
Love it.
I take a lot of breaks to pee, which is nice.
Yeah, we know. Two questions, very unrelated. One, real quick, do you guys do clip-ins or flats? Because it sounds like you guys might be more flats people.
Yeah, flats, definitely. Okay. Me and Corey both flats. You know, like we crash a lot because we like to experiment with features. And yeah. I just do not want my legs to just like, you know, go all the way from my back and hit me back in my head, you know, with the bike still hooked onto it and all that. Ugh.
And that will happen.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the real question I wanted to ask is, Brian and I are, and our basically our whole mountain bike group, we're all really into Michigan racing. Like, we're not fast or anything. It's just like the community of races. Have you guys ever thought of joining one of the races around here? Like,
I wanted to ask that question too.
Big one. Oh,
yeah.
Well, this is from Brian then.
I don't think
we could even find the time. Like, just, you know, like with the jobs and the editing, you know, like every waking moment is either working or editing videos or mountain biking for fun.
Sure. Yeah, that adds up. But
what do you
Corey kind of wants to do it though. She's wanted to join the enduro races at Blue Mountain in Ontario.
That'd be
okay.
Fun.
Yeah.
I bet she'd be pretty good too. So we should just, Brian, you should explain Iceman real quick and try to talk him into it, because I feel like if they came to Iceman, they'd be hooked.
Yeah. So if you do any bike race, I would definitely recommend Iceman. It's a total XC race. And even as terms of like an XC race, it's kind of like a board. It's known as like the road race of XC races, but it is the biggest single day mountain bike event in North America. Correct me if I'm wrong, Larry.
Yeah, I think. And it's right here in Traverse City.
And it's right in Traverse City. It's beautiful.
Oh,
and
my God, I just said right here. I used to live there. It's right here in my backyard. Grand Rapids.
This is the one that my wife confused with the Triple Trail Challenge, and she called it the Triple Massive Heart Attack or something. Yeah, it was in the Pado vid. She was asking, hey, what's that thing, Iceman or... Triple massive heart attack? I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
It sounds about right. I think we have our friends that have done the Triple Trail before.
That sounds crazy. That's out of anything I would want to do.
My heart rate is increasing right now just from thinking about it. I'm stressing out just from the thought.
Well, Grand Rapids, there's the quadfecta if you want to throw in all the trails and ride through all of them. Anyways, this has nothing to do with Iceman. So Iceman is a point-to-point race from Kalkaska to Traverse City. And there are, probably 5,000 racers? I think maybe there were 6,000 this past year. And you go off in waves of 100 racers every 2 minutes, Larry? Three minutes? Something like that. And it's a huge event. So, and each racer usually brings probably 2 to 3 people with them. So it's like a huge, like, family event, huge friend event. And you start in the morning in Kalkaska. You usually have your friends drop you off, and then they drive back to the campground, which is called Timber Ridge. And this is where the finish line is. And it's sponsored by Bell's, and Bell's like decorates the hell out of it with all these
And SRAM sponsored it too. And
Yep.
It literally was on TV last year. It's like you go through, it's like a mile finish line of zigging zag with like the logos
through
on the
crowds.
Banner. Yeah, like going through some like single track, like with
there's
crowd
some
on
huge,
the side
there's
too.
A huge jumbotron of racers go. And the announcer, like,
super epic.
The crowd gets super pumped for every single person that crosses the finish line,
which is what makes it cool, because race is intimidating, it's scary or whatever, like that's how I felt, but I've done it 3 years now, and it's a bunch of cool people, you ride at your own pace, it's just about finishing really, and then everyone
and
is like
beautiful,
it's so gorgeous. You're in Northern Michigan. We're gonna talk you into it. I'm gonna send you like an Instagram message every day. Like,
how many miles is this thing?
It's about 30 miles.
Oh, okay.
It's like 30 miles with like, I don't know, 12 to 1500 feet of climbing, depending on how squirrely the race director is that year who wants to make it. So
it's definitely doable. Like, I did it my very first year of mountain biking, and it kicks your butt, but
it kicks your ass, but it's not awful.
It's the reason I'm this into mountain biking today. So
yeah,
we'll see. I'll send you. We did some videos and stuff about it. I'll make you watch them.
Nice.
Yeah. The one caveat about it though is that it is a rain or shine event. That's why it's called Iceman. In that, the first year I did it, I think it was like 45, sunny, dry as can be. It was fast. It was great. And then this last year that Larry and I did it, it rained and snowed for like a week before, rained and snowed during the race. And it is hands down the worst mountain bike conditions I have ever seen, ever want to see, I've ever seen videos of. Like, it was horrendous for like 30 miles.
Well, you're really selling it. You got me convinced. I'm excited for that.
But it is, but it's, but everyone is in there with it, in there with you. So it's just,
oh yeah,
like,
that's true. It, yeah.
You're miserable suffering together. as a team, as a group.
Yeah. It's just like a really good, it's just like mountain bikers. Sure, there's like all the D-bags, for lack of a better word, who like tryhards, if you will.
Yep.
We're going to take it too K-O-Ms. Seriously. But if you're starting in the ways that Brian and I start in, it's nothing but some chill guys who just want to have fun. And,
oh, yeah. We'd be in that camp. It's like,
oh, yeah. We'll hang out with you the whole time. I mean,
there's way more fun back there.
Definitely got to consider. I'm going to see what Corey has to say. She's like, pedaling? What about the downhill part?
There's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
It's through a lot of single track, and it's have you ever rode in Traverse City, Vasa area?
No, not yet, but I hear there's some great trails there.
Yeah, so that's where I like started mountain biking at. And again, I wouldn't get like excited if you're looking for like major descents or anything, but as far as just like gorgeous views and like trails as far as the eye can see, like literally, like I think there's like 70 some miles of single track up there, and
yeah, Vast, you can get lost for days back there. Yeah,
it's great. It's so fun.
So do you guys ever ride the east side, I wonder, because you did mention earlier that like you don't like driving out, or you can't for some reason, or something.
Ryan says that it's hard to justify the ride because there's so many trails by here, and he has a great point. I agree.
Yeah, but you guys do have some good stuff.
I've done DTE, and that's the only one over by you that I've rode, and it's incredible. It's so fun. I've done that twice. Our friends was trying to get us to do Pato recently.
Pato is great. Super classic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where else do you suggest we check out?
So Pato, definitely that. Brighton Rec area, Torn Shirt Trail. That's a really good one. Pontiac Lake. Torn Shirt Trail. I think that's Brighton Rec. There's actual just torn shirts hanging off some trees there. I think that's why they named it that.
Okay. I type it into Google, and it's... If you type it into Google, guess what two of the suggested videos are?
Oh, yeah.
The Duke of MTV.
Hey.
You got that out.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah, trying to get a lot of those Michigan trails in there. Because when we first started, there was freaking nothing. What? We couldn't find anything. There was like no information, no websites. We'd go like best trails in Michigan, and it would just show Copper Harbor. And that's a 12-hour drive from here.
Right, yeah.
So
well,
like,
that's a good point. Brian, we should maybe... I always say we're going to step up like local routes on YouTube too, but I just don't.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. I'm actually pretty happy that there's a lot of new local YouTubers that are, you know, bringing awareness to the trails.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, we never would have been able to meet you, which this has been a blast, and just more people are coming out of the woodwork every day, and there's so many mountain bikers, and most of them are cool.
A lot of new people getting into it too, and then now at least they have something to you know, to find stuff and see the possibilities and the options here.
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure. I think three out of four mountain bikers are cool.
Maybe I hate to cut this off, but Ed, can you hear Brian right now?
No.
Yeah, he's not.
Sounds like a robot right now.
No.
Hey guys, this is Larry. I'm cutting in here because, as you just heard, Brian's microphone cut out for the rest of the episode. Might have to look into that. But anyways, if you listen this far, first of all, thank you. What a hero. Second of all, we're kind of at the end of the podcast here anyways, so I'm just going to go ahead and cut right to Ed kind of sharing his plugs. Guys, definitely check out at least a couple of his videos. They're so fun watching these guys ride. I promise you won't be disappointed. And thanks again to Ed for coming on, and let's just get right to the exit of this. And thanks for you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Bye.
So Ed, before we wrap this up here, is there anything else that you want to share with us? Like, I mean, we kind of pivoted into Brian's story here, so I hope you don't.
I get it. I mean, super exciting times, you know? So, what do I got to say? Yeah. Check out the Duke of MTB on YouTube. We also have an Instagram at Duke of MTB without the, and also a Facebook account, which basically just copies the stuff that we have from Instagram, because some people do either or. I know I didn't do Instagram before the channel. And yeah.
Well, man, it's been a blast. Before we clip the recording here, can you explain the name? I don't know if I ever asked or found the origin on your videos. Where did that come from, if you don't mind me asking?
So before I got into mountain biking, I was a hardcore gamer. If I wasn't working, I was probably playing Counter-Strike. And my gamer tag for almost all my life has always been Duke. And even that has a backstory further before that. I was a guest on a radio show back in college, and they asked me to make up a name. So I just went with Duke. And so I've just been like, anything I make is just Duke. It's, everything's Duke. So it's like, okay, now I'm doing mountain biking. So the Duke of MTB. There you go. Doesn't sound pretentious at all.
Oh, I like it. What's I'm funny, actually glad I'm that's great.
What's funny is somebody one time was talking about Jordan Boostmaster, and it was like, oh man, he calls himself the Boostmaster. And then I'm like, well, it's just the name of the thing. You know, like, I'm like defending the dude. And then my wife like walks up, oh, you should check out his channel too, the Duke of MTV. And I'm like, I was just, you know, because this guy was just criticizing the name. And now like I have something similar.
That's great, man. Well, it really has been a blast. And we have to do this again, or at the very least, find a place to hide.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, no, thank you having me. Yeah.
And on that note, anything else before we sign off here, Brian?
Oh, yeah. I want to say how awesome Larry is and that he's really cool and I want to be like him.
Oh, my God. What a
Yay.
Bye.